Talk here on Sportsnet 650. It's Jamie Dodd and Josh Elliott Wolf. We are broadcasting live from the mobile Kintec studio. Kintec, footwear, and orthotics working together with you in step. 650, 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line, and guests on Sportsnet 650 call in on the hotline. Powered by Power West Industries. Don't get caught in the dark when it matters most. Visit them at powerwest.ca today. They keep the lights on. We are live at Tawasin Springs for the Vancouver Giants Alumni Golf Tournament for 2025 here. And had a good chat with Brett Festerling in the last segment. We'll see if anyone else wanders by that we can flag down, but I think they're getting ready to get started here momentarily. Don't forget, though, you can get your Giants season tickets now starting at just $19. Go to giants.com/season tickets. And, of course, Cameron Schmidt still on the team. Ryan Lynn, one of the top draft prospects in the NHL going into next year's draft as well. So lots of reasons to go check out the Giants at the LEC and get your season tickets now. Giants.com/season tickets. All right. As I've been mentioning throughout the course of the show, we got Josh here. We got Lena.
You got pumped? Both.
Hmm?
Are you pumped?
Guys, I'm thrilled. I'm over the moon here. Are you kidding me? Getting to do a Canucks brunch segment on Canucks Talk? So let's do it. Let's do cap or no cap.
I don't know if we have a bet.
All right, that's fine.
We should have a bet.
I mean, we do on Canucks brunch.
To help the people back at the studio, because we should have talked about this in the break, to help the people back in the studio, should be in the Canucks brunch folder.
There we go. That's all right. We don't need it. It's fine.
People are in disbelief that we still are yet to involve Drance in Canucks brunch.
I think a good bit would be never.
Yes.
That's fair. That's fair. I also don't know if, like, I don't know if Drance is, like, desperate to do more work, to be perfectly honest.
That's fair.
So he might be like, you know what? I'm good.
There it is.
That food was great.
But that was one of the first cap or no cap submissions. It was brunch without Drance. Apparently it is no cap, because we continue not to involve it.
Yeah, that's just factually no cap.
Factually no cap. All right. How does this work? You guys go first with some? Walk me through this.
All right. How about I go first?
Okay.
We always let Lena go first because Jamie. Ladies first.
So true. Yeah. So, didn't know you guys practice chivalry. I could not get
it. Well, we do.
Initially, he wanted to go first when we
and
first.
I got called out real hard.
Yes.
I was shocked. Where were we? We were at Andrew Sherritt, and you personally thank Lena at the end of every show.
So
as your co-host.
At the end of every show, that really surprised me.
At the end of every show, I do this.
Yeah.
I say thank you to the tech box. I say thank you to the producers. And I say thank you to Lena.
I was like, what?
You don't?
No.
Thomas Jantz has been unthanked
at
for years.
At the end of every show?
It's like 20
Drance
seconds.
Drance
is it a long
it.
Process?
Drance witnessed it, and he was like, boy, sure, would that be nice.
I do it with Drance, too, on a poster for Drance.
Incredible. Wow.
It's the only way I know how to wrap up a show.
All right. Anyways,
okay.
Lena, you can go first.
All right. So here's my cap or no cap.
Okay.
Even with an Elias Pettersson bounce back, this team will have a below average offense. Cap or no cap?
That's no cap. 100% no cap. Like, even so, like, what are we talking bounce back?
Even if he gets 100 points,
yeah.
They're still can easily have a below average offense if you look at the, like, because you're still then betting, like, Philip Hedel being a legit 2C, you know, Jake DeBrusk being a top line forward. There's still so many question marks, even if Elias Pettersson is, like, the 10th best center in the NHL, which is a huge way for him to go to get back. Like, that goes a long way, don't get me wrong, but, like, you could easily have the 20th best offense with 100-point Elias Pettersson in the fold.
Yeah, I think that's no cap, for sure. I got one as
okay.
well. Trades, big trades, are about to happen now around the NHL. Now that Ehlers has signed, and the context behind this, I believe it was Chris Johnston tweeting out earlier today that the Ehlers situation is kind of holding some things up. It was something to keep an eye on. Once Nikolai Ehlers makes his free agent decision, there's a sense it could spur trade activity among the teams who fall short in their pursuit of the talented winger. So, a bunch of trades about to happen. Cap or no cap?
That's extreme cap. Like, what? One guy signs? And we go, by the way, with the team that everyone knew he was going to sign for, and like, yeah, maybe Washington was in the mix there, but it's not like it was this massive suspense. Oh, where's Nick Ehlers going to go? There's 10 teams in the mix, and they all have to wait to see what he's going to do. It's like, it was either going to be Carolina or Washington, and now we know it's Carolina. As there's like a 98% chance it was going to be. So what? Why? What's changed all of a sudden? That, oh, well, now we can start making all these exciting trades.
Teams can still hold out hope that they're going to get Ehlers, and then all of a sudden there's
like, well, he hasn't returned our call for 3 days, but maybe today's the day that he calls back.
He's expressed no interest in coming here, but maybe.
I think the problem is, like, the fundamental dynamic that prevented there being trades going into the draft is still the same, which is all of these teams desperately want to get better, and there's just simply not enough of a supply of good players to fulfill their needs. And so, like, if Minnesota wasn't happy with the offers for Marco Rossi because they need, you know, a needle-moving skater back, I don't know how. Now that teams have committed a lot of cap space, the draft is passed, so you can't use those picks as assets. I don't know how willing to move 2026 picks teams are going to be. I don't really get the theory that all of a sudden we're in for this tidal wave of trades and transactions just because Nick Ehlers has signed.
That's fair. I do wonder, once teams are willing to trade the 2026 first-rounders, even like lottery-protected first-round picks, how what the value of those are going to be. Because I feel like it should be pretty high.
You would think if you're, I mean, certainly if you're willing to throw an unprotected 2026 pick, like that's...
you're getting a lot.
That's really, really, really valuable. But you're right. Even like maybe a top five protected pick or something like that.
How many, if you're Patrick Alvin and you're like, you know what? I'm so confident in this team. How many more teams have a more valuable asset that they're willing to move than the Canucks would if they're willing to move the unprotected first round pick next year? It'd be a bad decision.
It really would.
But so many teams around the league would be like, man, they might suck next year. We gotta get that.
Yeah, it would be a very, very desirable pick for a lot of interesting reasons. And that's exactly why they should not do it. All right. I've got one here. I'm going to try my hand at cap or no cap before we
die.
I'm
so proud of you.
That's right. It's all about growth.
Yeah.
Trying new things. Cap or no cap, Braden Coutts, 15th overall pick of the Vancouver Canucks, will break camp with the team.
I thought you were going to stop.
Cap or no cap, right?
Jamie doesn't get it.
That's how it works, guys, right?
Yeah,
I just say the name, and then you guys say cap or no cap.
We'll break camp.
It was a dramatic pause because they're desperate for center. I don't know if you know, but Braden Coutts scored at the Dev Camp scrimmage today, which is an incredibly reliable predictor of close NHL success in the near future. So Braden Coutts, and all we hear is the mentality, the work ethic, wise beyond his years. He's a leader.
Great hair.
That's right. The team's desperate for centers down the middle.
That's cap.
Cap,
Jamie.
Or no cap.
Come on. That's cap.
It is cap.
Like, Aturatu is probably next in line.
Well, Aturatu, I think, is like a borderline lock for the team.
Yeah.
Kind of has to. Otherwise, he's going through waivers and all that, right? You could play 9 games.
So here's my like what I'm clinging on to. Jet Luchenko, 13th overall pick last year, under 6 feet, 180 pounds for the Philadelphia Flyers. He played 4 NHL games for them. He did enough. Braden Coutts, very similar profile coming out of the CHL. Can he just get that taste? Get that 2 or 3 games before he goes back to junior as a reward for whatever he does in training camp.
So you're saying preseason?
No. I'm saying regular season games. He's going to play preseason games.
Yeah. Regular season games, and then you go back to Seattle, and you're like, hey, you got a few games of NHL experience.
Yeah.
This is what you got to prepare for.
We'll sign you to him to the ELC, and then he goes back to Seattle.
I am going to say cap, mainly just because the Canucks need to be good right away next.
That's so fair.
We got to get back to the start conversation that we had last season.
Remember hashtag the start?
How much we talked about the start? We got to do that again. And the Canucks are probably going to be doing that again, where they're like, man, the start's really important.
Oh, man, I can't believe we're back to the start.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Time is a flat circle, Jamie.
Time is totally a flat circle. All right. No, I agree. Honestly, I think if he was like a little taller and bigger, he would have a lot more of a realistic chance. I think under 6 feet, it's hard to do, even though I was just pointing to the Luchenko example. But I just wanted to throw it out there. Let's not sleep on it. But I agree, it probably is cap.
650, cap or no cap. Unsigned, this is from someone in Alberta, is the context I'm going to put on it. You guys are sleeping on the Calgary Flames to make the playoffs.
Oh.
Extreme cap.
Yeah.
Extreme cap.
I often forget about the Calgary Flames.
And I know they had this really nice, plucky season, but I don't know. Rasmus Anderson seems intent on going to Vegas at the earliest possible opportunity. He's a really important part of the team. You're relying on, still, for as much as they're like retooling or restocking or whatever, you look at so many of their key players: Huberto, Kadri, Backlund, Coleman, Mackenzie Weegar. They're on the wrong side of 30. So they're in this weird situation where they don't necessarily have super high upside prospects coming, I guess with the exception of Zane Parekh if he's in the lineup. But they do have a lot of older guys that they're still relying on to play big minutes. I don't think they're going to be terrible. I don't think they're going to be a bottom five team. But given how competitive the West is and a team like Utah improving, St. Louis solidifying themselves, I think they're going to be in very, very tough to make the playoffs.
I do think they'll be a bottom five team in the West. Is that a hot take? I think that
could be true for sure.
I think the Ducks will pass them. The Canucks, I think, are going to be a better team. Blues, Wild. Like, the only teams I see below them are Chicago, Nashville, Seattle, San Jose.
Yes. I can see that, for sure.
So, yeah, I'm going to say cap. We're not sleeping on the Flames to make the playoffs.
Should we go to the Texan box?
Let's do it.
All right, Lucas the Fuel Guy. Cap or no cap? With rumors that there will be an expansion, after that, the product on the ice will significantly be worse due to the lack of talent in the league.
Teams are already getting pretty diluted.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
Now, I do think this is an interesting... Like, I don't think he's wrong per se, but there is a dynamic where sometimes the talent being more spread out can actually make for a more entertaining product because there's more subpar players for the elite guys to embarrass.
And more,
you know what I mean?
More bad goalies.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's like there's more guys who can't quite keep up with Connor McDavid or even come close to keeping up with Connor McDavid out there, right? And that leads to more open ice for the best players. It's kind of a weird argument, but I can see a way where, yes, the technical level of play decreases because you're right. I mean, look around. How many teams are like, man, we can't find a second line center?
All
they just don't exist right now, basically. Yeah. But I do think for the actual entertainment value, it might not be the worst thing in the world if you have – you're basically creating an environment where the best players are more able to do awesome stuff.
Yeah, that's fair. I also – maybe I just like – I like new things and I like change, but I like the idea of expansion because I'm like, ooh, a new
city.
Why
not?
Yeah, this is fun.
Apparently,
go back to Atlanta.
Austin throw their hat in the ring.
Yeah,
apparently.
They're a very up-and-coming city. In the grand scheme of the world,
sure.
I guess.
Worldwide, wow.
Do you want to give us your global up-and-coming city power rankings?
Austin.
Number one, Austin.
Honestly, though, apparently they're involved in a lot of tech stuff. Like
That is true.
They're on the up and up.
All right, let's move on.
They need an NHL city. What else do they have? Just a bunch of tech bros.
MLS. Oh, Josh?
Okay. Yeah, my bad. That's why they're up and
going. They also do have, they have the University of Texas, so that's actually a pretty big competitor.
Yeah, damn it. All right, you're right.
All right, let's move to a non-hockey related one.
All right.
Cap or no cap? Beer in a, well, that's not a cap or no cap, that's in or out. Now
oh,
I'm confused. Well,
you
in a bottle
it.
Or can?
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of a question.
Yeah.
So what?
I don't know. You might be.
I think if you say cap or no cap, beer in a bottle is better than beer.
Yes. Disqualified on a technicality.
We're not even going to read it.
No, okay.
We're rewording
so
it.
So what is, okay, reword it.
Beer in a bottle is much superior to beer in a can.
That is cap.
I would,
what?
I prefer cans.
Only buy cans from the liquor store.
So I prefer bottle.
They're lighter. They're better. They're just overall better.
So you prefer Corona in a can?
Well,
no,
Corona,
I mean,
Corona's different.
Like,
you can't go right to the bottle, the famous bottle one.
Lena's got one bottle.
Yeah.
I will say, so I do, I don't know if you guys have heard of this game that I play essentially, I guess, like all my life with my friends is Beers for Life.
Okay.
And so when you open a can or open a bottle, you need to mark it in some way. Otherwise, someone could call you and they could say Beers for Life, and then you have to finish whatever you're drinking. So if you get a can, you can just like twist the top, like the tab.
Yes.
And that's marking it. But a bottle is harder. You got to like peel it off. And so for me, from my point of view, in this scenario, it's also easier to finish a can if you have to finish your drink.
I just think they're way more convenient. And I don't think there's a taste difference. Do you think there's a taste difference?
100% there's a taste difference.
No, I think there is a taste difference.
I prefer the like Pavlovian sensation of cracking the can. To me is better than the bottle.
It's almost a chore.
How about?
And then I need a bottle
like,
opener.
The sound of the can opening is like I almost don't need the beer. I've gotten the rush right there.
Okay, would you say the same for like a Coca-Cola?
Remember
it in a bottle or
Coke,
can?
It goes glass bottle. Well, here's the Coke rankings. Fountain. Number one, fountain. Number two, glass bottle. Number three, can. Number four, plastic bottle.
Yeah, that's true. You're not wrong. I wanted to dispute
fountain.
It, but I can't.
I would
no, fountain,
that.
The pop is best out of the fountain.
I think fountain has more variance.
The thing is, you need soda to be slightly watered down, which it is out of a fountain.
But I don't
and
like
that's
that,
that's why
though.
It's elite.
Okay.
And you get it with the ice, it's fantastic.
Yeah, that's true. I would go fountain first, but sometimes you can get a bad fountain, then it's last.
That's fair, but generally, I'm going with the fountain all the time.
650-650, Dunbar Lumber text line. We're getting a lot of texts about this. Dustin from Abbey, Canucks should target Mason McTavish, cap or no cap?
I mean, sure.
They should.
Absolutely.
Good call.
They should target a lot of guys. They should target Connor McDavid, too. Look, I get Mason McTavish, one of the higher profile RFAs still out there, but
at what price though?
Well, the Ducks have $28 million in cap space right now.
They are like, matching everything.
You're not getting them with an offer sheet, and even if you did, to table an offer sheet, it would be outrageously expensive in terms of the assets you're giving back. They're 100% going to match it, and I can't imagine what the desire for them to trade him would be. The only possible way he could shake loose would be if he decided he hated the Anaheim Ducks for some reason. It was like, you know what? I'm not signing long-term. I want to go elsewhere. And they decided to get in front of it. But even then, I mean, are the Canucks going to have the assets to win that bidding? Almost every team in the league would be in on Mason McTavish, young center like that, with his pedigree and his track record if he became available. So I don't disagree. Like, yes, make a call, but I just don't see how it's feasible for the Canucks.
Now that I'm looking at their Puckpedia, the almost 40 chess move to make would be like, okay, you're going to offer shoot Mason McTavish. You know they're going to match it. But you do it for 2 or 3 years at a high AV.
Sure.
And then next year, you offer sheet Leo Carlson.
I still think they just match both.
They probably match both.
They probably just match
but
both.
Then you, and then, hey, if they match both, you got your division rival on high AV contracts that maybe aren't as efficient as they should be based on their age. But I don't know. I'd be all for it, but the points you make are very correct.
Yeah, this is the dilemma the Canucks find themselves in, right? Where you can point to like potentially interesting candidates, but the questions you have to answer are why are they available and why can the Canucks get them over other teams? And it's hard to find guys where you can find a really good answer to both of those questions
until you get to the 2026 first round pick.
That's true. This one, speaking of this, Gerp from Surrey says cap or no cap, Canucks will re-engage in Rossi combos. I think that's no cap. I'm sure, given the working relationship history of Patrick Alvin and Bill Guerin, I am sure there are going to continue to be conversations about Marco Rossi, and we've already heard like, hey, they might be looking to move Dakota Joshua. Could that be part of the package going the other way? I don't know. I was pretty confident there was a deal to be made before the draft. I don't know if there is now, but will they at least re-engage? Yeah, 100%.
They would definitely have to. It would be a different package because it felt like it was going to involve the 15th overall
yes.
pick. And now I wonder if they will re-engage, but it's just going to have to.
I don't know what
it might
the
be a
the
one
yeah.
type of situation.
I don't know what the fit is now.
This one's a good one. Brock Besser being a Ring of Honor lock after signing his contract yesterday. That's from Sheldon. You mentioned some of the stats.
Oh, yeah.
The other day.
He's got a chance. I mean, I think, like, totally within the realm of possibility that he ends his career with more points than Trevor Linden as a Canuck. Now, within the realm of possibility, far from a lock, but even still, like, we could easily be talking about top 8, top 7 all-time scorer as a Vancouver Canuck. I think that's probably enough to get you in the Ring of Honor. I don't know that they're going to look and say, well, you need more playoff success. Having said that,
I do think I kind of think you need more playoff success.
Like, Alex Edler is apparently not going in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
So maybe
he had playoff success.
Maybe the bar has been raised significantly. I don't know. And Alex Edler for a long time was the leading scorer as defenseman for the franchise.
Yeah. So felt like you should be a lock for the Ring of Honor.
You really thought he was going to be a lock. So I think given the Edler standard now, I think it's cap that he's a lock. Good chance, absolutely. But a lock, I don't think so.
I would I'm going to say no cap. I think he's a lock. I think he's endeared himself so much to Canucks fans, and that plays a part of it when you're going in the Ring of Honor. It's the same as, like, the Connor Garland conversation, where now it's like, well, he might make the Ring of Honor just because he's so loved by Canucks fans and plays a style that Canucks fans love to watch. Besser obviously isn't the same style as Garland, but when you spend your whole career with the Vancouver Canucks, and we'll see if he finishes this contract in Vancouver, but let's work under the assumption that he will. He's going to put up a decent amount more points. He's still going to be a top six forward for a bit here. I don't know. I kind of think he's a lock. The thing Edler was missing was, like, did Edler have a big personality that
no,
we were aware of?
Very much the opposite.
Yes. And so Besser, I think, has just endeared himself a little bit more. Not that he has a huge personality, but he's just a little bit more endearing, I guess, than Edler.
I think the starting and finishing your career as a Canuck, too, plays a huge part in
it. Edler did leave for L.A.,
but at that stage, who remembers that? At that stage in his career, I don't think that should have really affected things. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. The funny thing is, like, the decision-making behind retiring numbers and Ring of Honor, it's, like, kind of a mystery.
Yeah.
There's no one we can ask.
It's a purely vibes-based
operation. There's no one we can ask and be like, what's the deal here? What's the standard? We're just kind of guessing. So I think there's a good chance, but he's not a lock is what I would say.
We did get one unsigned, 650-650, Dunbar Lumber text line. Vegas should be punished for tampering with Mitch Marner, cap or no cap?
That's cap.
I think it'd be fun.
It's like, what did they do differently than any other team has ever done?
I think it depends on how long the conversations have been going on. Because they have, like, there's talk about, like, oh, maybe this was going on before, like, last season.
Yeah.
And so if it stretches back that far, then maybe it's worth looking at.
But
MLB is looking into pitchers who are throwing bad pitches.
Throwing balls
at least
to
take
open
a
the
look.
Second inning. But here's the thing. But it wasn't like Vegas called Mitch Marner last offseason and was like, hey, do you want to sign with us in a year? It was like trade conversations that Marner heard about because he would have to waive, is my understanding. Mm. Right? And then at the deadline, and then I think, you know, as he said, like, he's allowed to talk to Vegas players and be like, hey, how's Vegas? That's not against the rules. That's not tampering.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And I mean, and look, Toronto got their they got their price for the sign and trade. I think everyone's happy. He was going to leave anyway. This was kind of the best case scenario, actually, for the Maple Leafs. I refuse to believe there was anything different than what every single team does leading into free agency here.
I would agree, but I just, especially with apparently there's, you know, more eyes on tampering around the league right now, and the NHL reportedly wants to make an example of a team. Vegas could be the easy option, but also maybe Vegas is the opposite of an easy option because it seems like the NHL does love the Vegas Golden Knights. I would say, so should they be punished? I would say no cap, but I think maybe investigated. And then yeah, they just announced they're doing an investigation.
That'll learn them.
That'll scare them off. I've been watching, by the way, I've been watching this crow just like dismantle this garbage can.
Oh, man, the crows are living large. All of the triple O's wrappers are in that garbage can. That's heaven for a crow. They're having the time of their life.
Systematically pulling things out. It's been impressive to watch.
Crows are very intelligent.
They are.
Very, very smart.
Scarily intelligent.
Yes. We'll end on this one. Phil and West Van, cap or no cap, the combo of Josh, Jamie, and Lena is the best mix of hosts on 650. Extreme cap, Phil, but I thank you.
Right.
Thanks for the effort.
All right.
Jamie doesn't like us as his co-hosts.
I felt directed at us for some reason.
No. It could be me letting you guys down. I don't know.
That's not true.
Anyways, I appreciate the compliment, Phil. All right. We'll take a break. We will wrap up with one final segment here from Tawasin Springs for the Vancouver Giants Golf Tournament. It is Canucks Talk on Sportsnet 650. Welcome back to Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650. It's Jamie Dodd and Josh Elliott Wolf here. We are live on location at Tawasin Springs Golf Course for the Vancouver Giants Annual Golf Tournament. You can get your Giants season tickets now. Go to Giants.com/season tickets starting at just $19. And I also want to remind everyone, of course, about the Sportsnet 650 Jays Care 50-50, which is now live. And the Jays Care tournament actually will be back here at Tawasin Springs on Monday. I think Batch and Randeep will be on location for that one. So make sure you listen out for that. 50-50 is a great cause here. You could win half the jackpot. The other half supports Challenger Baseball, a program that helps kids of all abilities across BC thrive through sport. Tickets start at just $10 with bundles for even more chances to win, and this jackpot is going to shoot up on Monday when the tournament itself is happening. So make sure you get in on this. Don't wait. Get your tickets now at jayscaregolf.rafflenexus.com, or you can text money to 650-650 now to get the link sent directly to you. Halford and Brough will announce the winner on July 8th. You have until July 7th to buy your tickets. Must be 19 or older and live in BC to play. Let's make a big impact together. It was the last day of Canucks prospect development camp out at UBC. They did their scrimmage to wrap things up. And of course, Mikhail Samuelson, former Canuck, who's a big part of the development team, he was there and he had a good chat with the media afterwards. Let's hear from Mikhail Samuelson.
Let's start with the scrimmage. What did you see out there today?
First of all, really excited to be a part of this group. So many good guys to work with. The scrimmage here, I asked them through the half of the game, like, are you guys tired? Like, scale of 1 to 10, it's like, yeah, like, this is like close to 10. So, yeah, it was definitely good effort, and they tried their best. So it's like, yeah, it's good to see.
Is it old hat doing a development camp? You've done this a few times now. Is it familiar, or is every year a new surprise?
Yeah, it's not a surprise, but it's like a new excitement, I would say. And I really think that. It's like coming in, like, and be, like, have their hands, or I, for my sake, like, have their hands on and be so close to all the guys and try to develop them. It's just a week, not even, yeah, a week is 7 days. This is not 7 days, but it's like just a glimpse of details and what you can teach them, like, in a short amount of time. But it's so excited to be a part of.
Every player is different, but you know, the guys that are coming back for the second development camp, what characteristics are you looking for from them?
Yeah, we talked about all the players like that, like, what do we expect and what can they take control of, like you say, like, there was first year last year for them, and now they're coming in and being more into the groove a little bit and know what to expect. You can see that on there, like, they're a little more relaxed, they a little more laughs, and they're taking steps on the mental side of it too.
Do you rely on those guys to maybe even set the tone a little bit?
Definitely. And some guys, I don't know if it was some guys were here for the third time, maybe not, but whoever, like, yeah, take control, and you guys set the pace. It's not the coach who's going to set the pace, it's for the players who's doing that.
If you could have it your way, what's one thing you want every player to take away from this camp?
That it's going to be, they're going to have the patience with their unfolding as a player. Like, you're not doing anything in a couple of days or like that. So just be patient. And also, this is your journey. It's so easy to compare yourself with everybody else here. Yeah, in one way, you should compare because you're competing against all the other players. But at the same time, like, believe in the path you're on and go from there.
How quickly do you reach out to some of these guys? Or do you give them a little bit of time to breathe, or you quickly get set with them to start?
Yeah, we have some exit meetings now. We're going to say, like, what we thought of them and see, yeah, if you see the right future, what they have to work on a little bit. But after that, yes, we leave them alone for a little bit. But it's like so individual. Like, some guys you talking to a lot, and some guys, they want to be left alone too. So it's I can't really say, but definitely weak.
There are a lot of invites that are headed to the NCAA or already in the NCAA. Was that just filling out the roster, or is that looking towards the future at potentially players that you might be looking at to sign?
No, like, all the players who's here, they're here for a reason. Like, I don't have control over it all, and I don't see all the players, but we have, like, a good group of scouts here who's like, hey, like, look at this guy, like, try to invite him for the camp. He's a good player. So all the guys like, we don't know what we're gonna do with any of the guys now, but they definitely showed some signs of like they can play. So yeah, can potential future signings for sure.
And for those guys, do you give them exit meetings as well and kind of debrief kind of what they did over the week and what you liked?
Of course, of course. It doesn't matter if you're drafted or not drafted. When you're here, like, we treat everybody the same. Like, and you got to have respect for them. They're actually taking time. They probably want to go to development camp, yes, but they also, they're here and they're committed. So we have to commit to that too. So that's a mutual respect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wilmer? Yeah.
He needs
third
to.
Camp.
Yeah, it's his third camp, exactly. He needs to still work. He's not where he wants to be, I think, and not where we want him to be. So he still needs to grind. It's this consistency, day in and day out. Like, so in particular details, I'm not going to go into that. But like, for him to be a steady NHL player, which we think and believe that he can be, he still needs work. But he's taking steps. He's definitely taking steps.
What did you like most about this crop of goaltenders this year?
Oh, the goaltenders. Oh, wow. You know what? I'm almost guessing here now. Like, I like the one who's stopping the pucks. How about that? Oh, yeah. Ask the goalie coach better than that. Or I'm not the right guy, but obviously I see like the guy who drafted Medvedev. You see his movement in that. Yeah, I can see that much. Like, is he there yet? Like, no. But he's. He shouldn't be there yet, though. But let's have him work with Clarke and Marco and Justin Pogge down there. So give it a couple of years or 3-4 years, we probably see another great goalie in net.
Year to year, what have you seen from Aiden Celebrini just in terms of his development?
I see a guy who's always really happy. I saw this. He's more competitive now, maybe, and than the first years, but I see improvement there too, and probably most on the mental side, I would say. Like, I don't know if he thought about whatever he thought about before, but like now he's coming into the groove and he feels like it's coming together. So
thanks, guys.
Thank you.
That is Mikhail Samuelsson, Canucks player development coach, commenting on what he's seen at the prospect development camp out at UBC, which wrapped up with the scrimmage today, and like his refusal to answer about the goalies. He's like, I don't know, I'm not a goalie coach.
I don't know, man.
Keeping the puck out or not, that's all I care about.
They're getting Samuelsson to do a lot lately. Hey?
Yeah.
Doing media avails. Obviously, he's going to be at Dev Camp.
Yes.
He made the first round selection. I do love Samuelsson in the first round. Everybody's like, okay, we kind of get this decentralized thing. We're going to throw a celebrity in there. It's going to be fun. And the Canucks were like, Samuelsson, you're going to go and you're going to make it seem like exactly every other NHL draft. You're going to thank a listener, a watch party at home.
Yep.
You're going to say congrats to the Panthers.
Yep.
And then you're going to
We're not changing.
Pick. Yeah.
It did have big, forgot to do an assignment until the morning it's due energy. You're like, oh, where are we going to make this pick? Guys, who can we get down there? who's going to go
Where's
down Buble? There and make the pick for
Where's
us?
Buble?
But also, I thought it was interesting to hear him talk about, because, you know, obviously, there's going to be all eyes on Brayden Coutts, certainly, as the 15th overall pick from this most recent draft. You know, Medvedev, the goalie, even a guy like Kieran Dervin, who's has some interesting upside and, you know, first chance to see them in Canucks colors. But he is also talking a little bit there about some of the guys that are repeat attendees of the development camp and even some who are there for the third time. And that would be two that stand out to me. Vilmar Ulriksson and Aiden Celebrini. And, you know, Ulriksson's fascinating, and I'm sure you've been out at Dev Camp in past years, Josh. Like, he stands out in a big way because he's just such a massive dude.
He literally stands out in a big way.
But you can also see, like, there's moments where he's really clearly fighting the puck, and his stride and all that needs to come a long way, and it sounds like very much still a project. And then Aiden Celebrini is the other guy that, you know, as a sixth-round pick, look, you don't put a lot of hope in him eventually making it to the NHL, but he's also a 6'1" right shot defenseman, and I think those are the kinds of guys that as an organization you're going to have a lot of patience for. I'm very curious. It feels like for those players, right, this is your third prospect development camp, so what, this is now you're going to be your draft plus three season. this feels like real make or break. Like, if we're still talking, you know, if we're talking about it as purely a hope thing next year, it's probably not transpiring for those guys. But if they kind of put it together and take those steps this year, then maybe there's some more upside and some more certainty.
You just kind of, like, the... Honestly, you just want to see them make an impact in Abbotsford, right? Like,
yeah.
That's now, the...
Now, know, Aiden, I don't... Might be going yeah. back to,
Sorry.
To the NCAA. For, I'm not sure.
For Ulrichsen,
yeah.
you want to see him make an impact in Abbotsford. And just from a general point of view, like, late-round picks, obviously you want them to hit. Everybody, you want your late-round flyers to hit at the NHL level. But if those guys can even play NHL games, that's a big win. Like, we saw, like, with Kirill Kudryavtsev, a seventh-round pick... The fact that he's playing at the level he has, like, that's a huge win. And the
well,
Canucks,
I mean, not just sticking in the A, but, like, having a big impact, too, right?
Yeah.
Like that's a massive, massive deal for him. Mm-hmm. And you're right, that jump from junior to the AHL, I think, is way harder than a lot of people give it credit for.
Yeah.
Either from junior or the NCAA to the AHL is really, really difficult. And there's always a degree of uncertainty. Like, Kudryavtsev is a perfect example. It's like, hey, he's tracking well in the OHL, but you're never quite sure how it's going to look in a pro league. And that test, that first test of professional hockey is a big, big deal for these prospects. Speaking of Aiden Celebrini, of course, the brother of Macklin Celebrini, former sixth-round pick for the Vancouver Canucks, he spoke to the media as well at Dev Camp. Here is Aiden Celebrini.
How's it look?
It's getting there.
Feeling better?
Yeah.
Slowly getting there.
Yeah, a little puffy.
All the questions are about the left. Well, now that development camp's kind of coming to a close today, just your overall thoughts on everything that you've experienced over the last couple days?
Yeah, you know, coming in for the third time, like I said, this is one of the highlights of my summer, and, you know, just getting that opportunity to work with the big team and better your game and ready your game for that NHL level. I think this camp again just primed me in a lot of ways to take that next step in my development. I'm feeling really excited about this second half of the year and this next season.
Samuelson mentioned that he's going to notice the shift in, like, your mentality. You're a lot very upbeat. Now, like, where does that come from? How have you seen that develop?
Yeah, hockey's fun, you know. Try to have fun with it. I mean, it's always a blessing to be able to put on that Canucks jersey and learn from these legends of the game. So I think, yeah, it's just take no day for granted. I mean, I know I'm putting everything I can into developing my game and definitely taking my process seriously and kind of asking everything from myself every single day, but at the same time, you got to have fun with it, you know, because if you don't enjoy the process, then you're just spinning your wheels.
This is your third camp. Is there anything, like, advice that you gave to the guys who, you know, came in for the first time this year?
Yeah, you're not getting judged. Like, that's not what this is for. Just take this opportunity to better your game. Like, I know probably heard it all week this week, but be a sponge, you know. It's doesn't make the message any less important. Like, just be a sponge, just be selfish with it, take as much as you can out of it and use this to just take that next step.
Now this being your third camp, is there anything that you could take out that's different that you can, you know, kind of soak in?
Yeah, you know, obviously being an older guy, getting to experience what it's like kind of coming back and seeing kind of the nerves of some of the younger guys that I had a few years ago, and obviously kind of going from 1 year of juniors to 2 years of college, haven't really gotten to experience that very much. So that was really cool for me, I thought, just to kind of try to be a leader and try to kind of set the tone for the other guys here.
You're heading back to the NCAA. Have you thought about what's next after the season yet, or is that just wait and process?
Yeah, you know, right now it's just do whatever I can, pour my blood, sweat, and tears into this summer, preparing for a great year at Boston, where I'm trying to really elevate my game, and then at the end of the year reevaluate, you know, see, because I'm not the same player I was going into last year, and I wasn't the same player I was going into the year before. So just want to kind of take it month by month, year by year here.
And your teammate last year, Tom, he signed his ELC. So can you give us kind of a preview of what fans and should get used to for next season?
Yeah, I couldn't be happier for him. I mean, he's going to be a fan favorite for sure. He's a fun guy, fun personality, and obviously a really talented hockey player. He's very smooth, very sound defensively, and we like that nice Swedish stride, you know. He's a lot of fun, and gonna miss him out there with me, but hopefully I'm there with him soon.
When you look back at this past week, what's just like the most fun about getting this group of guys together and just having a week together here?
Yeah, honestly, it's just like you said, it's the guys. I mean, guys coming from all over, teams I played against this year, other leagues and other countries coming together and kind of just getting to have fun with each other. It's kind of like a brotherhood in there that we're all wearing the Canucks jersey and we're all trying to kind of achieve our dreams together. So it's really cool. I mean, I could look at a lot of those guys in there and be reaching out to them and asking how they're doing for years to come. So it's one of the things I really look forward to at these camps, and obviously there's so much else, but yeah, that's what really sticks out.
When's the next time you're going to run the grind?
I got a little vacation in Croatia planned, but after that it's three times a week again, so get some time off though.
Good.
Did you have to warn any of your teammates, or were they anybody a little bit overconfident going into it?
Yeah, I was trying to prep some of the guys, but you know, the aura of the Grouse grind is large, and they a lot of the guys coming in knew what to expect, so didn't have to warn anybody. Maybe I had to console some guys before they did it.
And we saw the video yesterday. You talked a little bit about the Sedins, but they got a 10-minute head start and they still beat almost everybody. Like,
just, yeah,
is it what do you say about their level of fitness at this point? I guess,
I mean, they're, like I said in that video last year, I had a lot of friends and family ask me about it. I mean, they're machines. Yeah, I mean, at least they didn't pass me this year, but I really look up to those guys, just not only their incredible careers, but how they approach life after their careers. I mean, you look at them, they're the most incredible human beings, and they're perfect, you know? Like, you look at them, Grouse grind, on the ice, they look like they can still play, and it just shows, like, how much care and attention they put into their lives, and, they're incredible role models.
Thanks, Aiden.
There you go. That is Canucks prospect Aiden Celebrini. Find someone who looks at you the way Aiden Celebrini looks at the Sedin twins.
They're the most incredible
human beings.
He's not wrong.
They're perfect. They're pretty incredible. They're pretty awesome.
Sometimes there are multiple things I think about related to the Sedins that sometimes I just like am kind of in awe about.
Sure.
First off, identical twins being that good at hockey.
Yep, that's wild.
Second,
being drafted by the same team.
Yes.
Like, that's insane.
And the fact, like, I saw the video of, like, Burke doing all the trades and everything to make it happen. It's like, imagine the hype and chaos if that happened today.
Yeah, oh my goodness.
A team trying to figure out how to get two twins on the same team.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then also, it's like, man, these guys are just, like, Hall of Famers and great role models, and I don't know.
And just really great dudes. Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Phenomenal experience for Canucks fans to be able to cheer for them, and pretty cool to have them around and out there to, I mean, first of all, show the prospects how it's done on the Grouse grind, but also work with them on the ice as well. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Final few minutes of Canucks talk here. Jamie Dodd, Josh Elliott-Wolf live at Tawasin Springs for the Vancouver Giants Golf Tournament. And just dipping into the Dunbar Lumber text line, this one came in a little earlier from Ian in Vancouver. Could you see Max Pacioretty or Jeff Skinner fitting in with the Canucks at this point? Picking up a legit center feels out of reach, so let's build on our strengths, defense, and middle of the lineup forwards. I would be very surprised to see a veteran forward of that ilk come in. I think what the Canucks are going to prioritize is more speed and two-way ability, even a winger of any sort at this point. On the low end, I mean, they have a crowded depth chart.
It would just kind of be clogging things up.
And especially when you think about, like, yeah, they might want to move a Dakota Joshua, but you probably also want to at least have a plausible pathway. Not that you're going to gift them spots, but, I mean, Lekkomäki, Linus Karlsson, Arshdeep Bains. You know, could you try Max Sasson on the wing potentially? Like, those are a bunch of your key contributors in Abbotsford who could at least theoretically push for a spot. There's only so much more you can add to the wings. I think if we do see a classic, you know, late July, early August bargain signing, it's much more likely to be either another veteran defenseman or an option at center.
Yeah, I mean, I will say generally the flyers that are taken on centers and defensemen are taken earlier in the summer, you know, but just because they play more valuable positions and, and generally they're able to get a little bit more in free agency, or at least are able to find a team in free agency. Like, they rarely slip through the cracks. That being said, there might be someone that ends up being available in a month or so that the Canucks can convince to, you know, take a league minimum deal or somewhere around there, and just to try to get, you know, rebuild their value or whatever it is. Kind of similar to Pugh Suter. But Suter, it was such a specific scenario because he was kind of viewed as a winger, I think. He could play center, but more viewed as a winger. And ideally, you find someone like that, right? Someone who can maybe convert to center.
I even wonder, I mean, if you're willing to move one of, but potentially both, of Joshua and Bluger. I mean, I look at a guy like Jack Rozovic who's out there. And does he get to a point where his options are kind of sign with term with a bottom feeder team, or take a short-term, maybe one-year deal and hit the market again next year? And if it's the latter, well, maybe you are in with a chance. So I wonder, like, could the same thing happen to Rozovic that happened to Pugh Suter, where the market he thought was going to be there, maybe he just misses out and it doesn't materialize? Now, the difference is Rozovic is bigger and faster, so he's got those traits that GMs tend to pay for. But I don't know. I wouldn't close the book entirely on a signing like that if a player gets to a point where they kind of say, you know what, I just got to take something, and maybe the Canucks are the best bet.
Kind of surprised he hasn't signed yet. 39 points in 81. I do wonder if he just goes back to Carolina.
Now, I
have,
I will,
like, $9 million in cap space.
I was poo-pooing the idea of the Ehlers thing kind of opening the floodgates, but for Rozovic specifically, I could see it, like, now Carolina has financial kind of clarity on what they have left to spend. You're right. Like, that could be an interesting landing spot for him, but you never know. We'll see if the Canucks are able to land a potential bargain on the free agent market as the summer continues. All right. It was the last show for me and Drance yesterday. This is my last show whatsoever on Canucks Talk. You're on with Drance tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be 2 hours. We're finally going to get to the bottom of who has more value, Zach Benson or Tom Hollander.
I'm objectively right. I am objectively right. Tom Hollander is a right-handed defenseman.
If you want to. I feel like the phrase "I'm objectively right" is going to come up a lot on both sides of this argument tomorrow. If you want to tune in for that tomorrow.
I guarantee we're going to talk about it.
I'm joking. Trust me. There'll be other stuff to get into as well.
Someone text it in, and I'll make sure it comes up.
Yeah. And you can just act like really surprised that Drance has strong feelings about it. Like, what?
You like Zach Benson? I've never talked about this.
I didn't know that about
you. Next thing you're going to say is that you're a big Utah Mammoth guy.
Well, you guys can bond over that now that you're locked in.
I do like the Mammoth.
So it's Josh and Drance tomorrow, noon to 2 on Canucks Talk. I will be doing the morning show with Israel Fair tomorrow. Thanks to everyone for listening. Thank you to you, Josh.
Oh, wow. Thank you to you, Jamie.
I know how much it means to you.
You got to say thank you to Lena,
too. Thank you to Lena. Thank you to Costa as well. Thanks for listening to Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650.